We are talking all things BTS. This is a crash course in BTS because I'm kind of a newbie here. We're talking with members of BTS Galaxy in Los Angeles. Welcome to my podcast, Olympic and Bundy. I have the super fans for the K-pop group BTS. Go ahead, introduce yourselves.
I'm Emily Heidel.
And your connection with this group is?
So I'm a part of BTS Galaxy, but BTS Galaxy is a group that's like a form, like it's with a bunch of different fan bases. So I'm a part of a fan base called 21st Century Army.
Okay, Susan.
Yes, my name is Susan Perry. And I'm just...
You're a founder of...
founder of BTS Galaxy and BTS Army League.
Super fan. And... yeah, that's good enough to start. Yeah. Erica, go ahead.
Oh, hi, this is Erica Sanchez, and I'm also a member of BTS Galaxy.
And you have a big event coming up.
Yes, we're currently planning the BTS Army Con.
BTS Army Con. That sounds very real.
It is.
Yes. Okay, Alice, go ahead and grab the mic there.
Hello, I'm Alicia Milana, and I am a part of Bangtan News Network, and I'm also a part of BTS Galaxy.
Okay, the network. That means what? What do you do?
We do a lot of writing stuff and news report online.
Okay, so as a news anchor, I'm Christine Devine, everyone. I know of BTS. I've reported on BTS, but I really don't have the fundamentals of BTS. You guys are going to give me a crash course here. Okay, so Emily, you found the group how?
Through their single Mic Drop. I'm super new compared to a lot of the fans sitting here and a lot that are already fans. But I found them through Mic Drop in like November of 2017 and then just fell down the rabbit hole that everyone says they fall down and anything BTS or K-pop related. So that's how I found them. And then I just got involved with the fandom and it's been a story since then.
Susan, yeah. You're kind of an OG fan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. You found them how and when?
Found them the day of their debut. In 2013.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was always into music and K-pop intrigued me, but I hadn't found my group yet. And then June 13th, 2013, I saw their debut performance and that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
Okay, Erica, how long of a fan have you been?
I want to say maybe I'm also a young fan. I was introduced to them around their Blood, Sweat, and Tears era. So that's only like 2 years ago, right? So, I found them. I remember hearing the song on the radio and thinking, I have to go back and like YouTube this.
Are you a music person?
I am. So I don't just listen to music. I like to know the lyrics and I like to like go and take my time with it. So I remember listening to the song and thinking, I have to go back when I'm free and go back and listen to the YouTube music for it.
But why this group?
You know, at first when I heard it, again, it was just something that like caught your ear. And then you're like, all right, like when you hear a song that you like and you're like, well, I want to make sure I'm singing the lyrics correctly to it. And I said, I have to go back and listen to it. And once I saw the first YouTube video, then I found myself watching another YouTube video.
I do love their videos.
Yes.
They're colorful.
Yes.
They're bright. There's dance. Yeah. There's music.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I ended up finding the videos that weren't just, you know, powerful dance and singing. It was songs that had meaning. They were talking about very serious issues like mental health. Mm. And then that's when I started, you know, thinking, like, who is this group? And that's kind of how I sort of fell into this rabbit hole.
Managing the upcoming BTS Army Con.
Yes, yes. Helping all of us are planning the event. But yes, sort of leading that event there.
All right, we're going to talk about the event in a bit, but first I want to learn more about BTS. All right, Alice, you have been a fan for how long?
Since 2014.
Okay, what do you love about BTS?
They have really good lyrics and their music have really good... They have really good lyrics and they have good music as well, and they can also dance. Mm-hmm. So that's what I liked about them.
But you say also you found your friendships within the BTS Army.
Yes, so I found a community and a lot of my... I call them my mentors, but... A lot of my friends that teach me and help me with basically life lessons, all of them are armies, so I'm thankful for that because I found them because of BTS.
So I need you all to list the members of BTS.
All
right. There's seven of them, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, give me two.
K, Kim Namjoon and Kim Seok Jin.
Okay, Susan, give me two.
Min Yoon Gi and Jung Ho Suk.
And then it'd be Park Jimin and Kim Tae Young.
And there's one more.
Jung Jungkook.
Got it.
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
So seven.
Seven. Yeah. Okay, wait, sure, we didn't forget anybody.
No.
Nope. No.
Okay, and so Susan, these are all original members of the group, right?
Yes.
They started when?
They started in 2013, but they started gathering in 2010.
Who would have thought that a South Korean group would become worldwide like this, even compared to Beatlemania? And Susan, you've been a fan for a long time of music.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I still think to this day, like, it just, it'll pop up in my head that I don't know how I chose this group. And then now they're like the biggest group in the world right now, and it's amazing. I'm just amazed by it, just shocked, really.
So Emily, why do you think you're so involved, like that you're helping to put on a big like convention, a conference?
To be honest, I didn't feel adequate enough just to be a fan. My like ultimate goal would, you know, as a host, would be able to like interview them one day. And so I was like, how am I going to get to that? Let me just start something in whatever way I can. And so
because you do hosting now with the Dodgers and UCLA.
Yeah.
And K-pop.
Yeah, like podcasts and little events here and there. But I think that, you know, just taking that, I think that I wanted to make my fan and experience meaningful. And so it kind of just like parlayed from really that one account I started to everything that I'm doing now, I should say. So, you know, I think that I love where I'm at. It would be much simpler to be just a fan, but I like having as much stake. And I wanted to comment on, you think you said like, you know, or you were saying like a South Korean boy band, like being able to be popular around the world. I feel like with K-pop in general, they've been trying very hard to break into the U.S. for such a long time. But I think the reason why BTS was different was because they were doing something different than the other K-pop groups.
Which is?
I think they came out the gate, you know, talking about, not that it appealed to the Western artists, but or Western music industry, but more so they came out with a hip hop centric sound, which obviously that appeals to the
everybody.
West. Right, right. More. And if you listen to other K-pop groups, especially, I mean, really a lot of K-pop groups have a very poppy sound, and BTS didn't have that. And they also, I guess, within Korea, talked about things that are acceptable to talk about here more than it is there. So.
Okay, so you all were nodding your head about the sound, right? So Alice, talk to me about the sound.
So for BTS, they talk a lot about, you know, mental health and self-love. And that's
the message, yeah?
Yes, that's not really what you often hear from anyone at all, because mental health especially is very taboo. And I felt like BTS, to talk about that, it took a lot of courage for them to do that. And I'm happy that they did that way, because now a lot of people relate to them and feel like, oh, I feel welcome, and this is, you know, the music that will heal me, or not heal me, but help me, you know?
Speak to you.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking, when I think of BTS, I thought it was like maybe a bunch of teenagers, but I'm here with a student, a college student, and adult women here who love this band. So it's not, Erica, about teenagers necessarily.
No, it's not. I think the really great thing about BTS is like the message that they talk about really relates to anyone, and can maybe reach them in a time when they need it the most. I think a lot of people will say that when they were introduced to BTS's music, it was like the perfect time, because it was a time that they needed it the most. And I think that says a lot about an artist and how they're able to relay their message.
Well, I would say, who doesn't have that song that maybe has brought you to tears?
Yeah.
Or you think about that last boyfriend or something like that. You know, we all have music that really touches us, and you feel moved by their music. I look at their videos, and I'm new to this. I think of them as kind of dancey and fun, but you all keep talking about the message. Susan?
Right. Well, their title tracks are, they seem on the surface to be, you know, very fun and just vibrant, like you said, the videos. But, when you dig deeper into their music, then that's when you discover just how, you know, like just the true meaning behind a lot of things. And the guys, they write most of the music themselves. And
like 90% of it, something like that?
They write a good portion, and And the thing is, they, you really don't know until you start looking into the true translations. Like you can see like the YouTube translations or whatever, but when you see like the translators on Twitter, who like they really go deep into what they mean.
So, and are any of their songs in English?
They use English sporadically in okay. most of their songs.
So you have to really look up their lyrics,
right? You do. Yeah. So, but the thing is, even if you don't know the lyrics, you can still feel the music. You just mm-hmm. know that it's different.
And Emily, do you find yourself looking up the lyrics?
Oh, yeah. There's a song that came out today, Brand New Day, with V, J-Hope, and, oh, gosh, what's her name?
Zara Larsson.
Zara Larsson. And I waited a couple of hours after it dropped because I knew the lyrics wouldn't have been, like, translated right then and there. But then, like, around 11 a.m. this morning, I went and looked up the lyrics to see what it was talking about. And you can find it on Genius. You can find it on Twitter, as Sue said, or you can...
Don't you love technology?
Yeah. Yes, it's accessible everywhere, and you can find it on YouTube, where they tell you which singer, which one is saying what, when, and what there's, you know, yeah. So, it's pretty much everywhere.
All right, so let's talk about the different members, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jin, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Jin, okay. Erica, who? Tell me about Jin.
I would say Jin is considered sort of like the looks of the group. When he was studying to be an actor, and so he has a very beautiful voice. He actually learned how to play the piano just to be able to perform a certain piece at a concert, and so although he's seen for his looks, he has a very beautiful voice, and he's trained really hard to improve his voice. You know, and as a fan, you can appreciate an artist really pushing themselves to continue to better their craft.
You have some insight there. You got the bio down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, is it Suga? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Emily.
Suga or Yoongi, he is one of the main producers, really, of the group and composers of the group. He also does it outside of BTS. He, as fans, I think, would describe him as is a very, he's probably the most sarcastic and the most, less emotive, unemotive person of the group, but if you kind of get to know who he is, he does, you know, little cutesy things. People call him Lil Meow Meow because he looks like a cat sometimes, and when he smiles, he has this, like, gummy yeah. smile, and he does, I feel like I'm like, oh my god, he does this and this, but he, like, but he does, like, there's one thing, like, because he is less emotive, but when he is mad, he'll, like, hold a member's hand to, like, show that he's kind of frustrated, but that's, like, another way of showing, it's an interesting thing, but he is the main rapper, main composer of the group. He was actually not, he didn't want to be an idol. I think he's kind of averse to being called an idol. He really wanted to be a producer within Big Hit, and the company Big Hit was like, well, we'll let you, like, they said, like, we'll let you into the group. You'll just really mainly produce, but then obviously he had to learn the dances and all that good stuff. But I think, probably the members make it more enjoyable for him since he has to do all the other stuff. But yeah, that's what his main role is. He's the rapper. He's the composer okay. of the group.
So we have a little commotion going on here because Fox 11 is shooting a little segment here to put on our newscast here at Olympic and Bundy. This, of course, is our podcast where I thought it was exciting, Erica, when you told me about this ArmyCon, BTS ArmyCon that's coming up. But let's go ahead and continue to run down the different members. J-Hope. So, Alice, you got me on J-Hope?
Yes. Right. So, J-Hope, he claims himself to be the sunshine of the group. Like, every concert, he would be like, I'm your hope, you're my hope, I'm J-Hope. And that's kind of like his mark. And basically, he's the main dancer, and he teaches BTS the choreographies. And he also raps, and he sings too. So, he's like all of the things that... you could think of.
Erica, tell me about RM.
So RM's considered the leader of the group. He's again a composer. He writes a lot of the music that's that BTS brings out, but he's considered the leader of the group, and he's the one that speaks the most English. He's actually said that he taught himself how to speak English by watching Friends. He shared a story that his mom used to watch
The sitcom Friends.
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
And so when they do interviews, you'll see him being the translator for the group. And he's, you know, I think a lot of people think of him as just a great leader who's been able to push BTS to be bigger than just idols. They're artists, and their music really transcends a lot of these things. And like I said, language. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Susan, you're going to tell me on Jimin.
Okay, Jimin is one of the dancers and vocalists. He's a contemporary dancer. That's where he was trained, and he's brilliantly beautiful. If you've seen him live, he just is great. His dancing is just so expressive, and he really brings a different element to the hip hop things that they started out from.
I do love their dancing. I think they're really great.
Yeah. But yeah, they started out, like I said, a hip hop group, but he had that classical training. So,
well, that's why he's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Emily, how about V?
V, he is, I guess, out of the entire group, I say if you see V, I feel like he's usually the one people notice first because he does have a very unique look. But within the group, he is the singer. He is very into acting. He's been in one drama, but people kind of know that his main, you know, what he's really interested in is acting. And he's also interested in art and photography a little bit. But I think that, I guess personality-wise, and I feel like with all the members, and you can kind of see this with their, and they're going to, I guess, dive into it more, but with Map of the Soul Persona, their most recent album, they do have these caricatures of themselves, like J-Hope has, you know, I'm your hope, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's, like, very, like, whatever, but as a fan, and as a dedicated fan, after watching a lot of videos, you kind of see that there's kind of like an opposite side to them. So even for V, when he was coming up, and to kind of see the progression from 2014, when they were here in LA, he was a very goofy, like, lighthearted person that sometimes people were like, oh my god, why, he's like kind of not dumb, but just like, oh, you're just a little too much sometimes. And then now you can kind of see, like, oh, like, he's grown up, he's a little more serious, a little more, you know, not moody, but just like more refined, if you will. So I feel like in his emotions, so it's interesting as a fan to just watch all of them. There's always like a almost like a dichotomy between how they come off to, like, let's say US media, and being a real fan where you watch the content and you see who, you know, the different sides of them, I guess.
Okay, we have one more. Alice?
So that's Jungkook. He is, or JK, or Jungkook. He is the golden maknae, which means the youngest one, and it's golden because he can do a lot of things. He sings, he raps, he also produces songs, and he could also edit a lot of videos. And
is he 23? He's 21.
Yes.
So they're all like in their early mid-20s.
Yes. So Jungkook, a lot of ARMYs call him basically the whole BTS, because they said that if you combine pieces of BTS members, the older members, it would be Jungkook. So that's why he's the golden maknae. And okay. Yes.
Now, you all live in Los Angeles. You went to the concert at the Rose Bowl, and you sat where?
On the floor.
On the floor, of course.
On day one, I was on the floor, but then the second day, I was a little more up in another section. But still a great show from anywhere, I think.
Yeah. What's it like to be at a concert for BTS? Emily, start me out.
I think this one, compared to the one that they, I like this one a lot more. And I went to the first day by myself, and the second day I went with a friend. And the concert by myself was actually, not that it wasn't fun going with my friend, but it was very like, oh, this is liberating to be able to see this by myself and kind of emote how I would feel like it without someone else being there. I think that, you know, if you're not a K-pop fan or, you know, a BTS fan, you're going to go to a concert and expect people just like waving their arms. But if you go to a K-pop concert, you're going to have people with ARMY bombs, which are like the light sticks that light up different colors. You have to connect it to Bluetooth within the stadium. And then during different songs, it's different colors, different things going on. People during songs there's fan chants. So at certain points of the song, you might expect someone to say one thing, but they won't say, like, there's like a certain like chant that goes along with certain words in the song. So they're
kind of part of the concert.
Yeah. And I guess they're pretty interactive as well, as I guess with the whole entire stadium. They try to talk back and forth and get people involved. So I think that it's a completely different experience than like a regular concert. But that's, I think, with a lot of K-pop concerts, because light sticks and fan chants are involved.
Okay.
But yeah.
And Susan, you went first with your daughter?
To the Rose Bowl.
Or to a BTS concert.
Oh, a BTS concert.
Your daughter got you into it, right?
Not into the group. I got into the group on my own.
But, K-pop.
Yeah, she was into K-pop, and then that's when I saw BTS. But first concert, yeah, we actually did go together, but we didn't sit next to each other. She was in the front row, and I was in the back, but it was tiny at the Troubadour.
Oh, they were at the Troubadour?
Yes.
You're kidding.
In 2014.
They could not do the Troubadour in
this day and age. I wish they would. That would be my ideal, to see them again in an intimate
smaller
setting.
Venue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Much smaller venue.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're at the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And tell me about the experience.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing just being there with other ARMY, and it still felt intimate, even though there were 60,000 people, but you make friends, you know, everybody hugs each other and cries with each other, and it's just like, you get the experience of just being in the moment with BTS, and it's just...
And you were telling me off mic, you feel like they're your sons.
Yes. Yeah? I'm old enough to be their mom, but they just... I'm just proud of them and how far they've come, and I'll do whatever I can to get them even further.
Okay, Erica, now these tickets weren't cheap. How much is a ticket to go to the Rose Bowl on the floor?
Oh, I would say like $300 or so.
And worth the money?
Yes, definitely. For me, it was my first concert that I got to go to. I wasn't able to go the year before when they were in Los Angeles. So this was, kind of like everyone in the team was excited for me because they were like, oh, this is your first concert.
First
BTS concert, yes. I've gone to other concerts before, but it was great. I mean, one day I got to experience it a little up close. And the second day I was up in another section. And one of the things that I kept telling people was, my first day I was in the ocean, the ARMY ocean, and the second day I could see it and I could feel it from above. And it's a very beautiful thing when we talk about these light sticks. It's kind of all part of the experience, right? You see lights churning and changing. And as songs kind of are played, it kind of helps with the emotions, I think, of everything. And it's just very beautiful. I think anytime you ask someone about the ocean or the ARMY ocean, they say, like, it's just this beautiful feeling and a very happy feeling. I don't know how else to express what it feels like, but it's a very happy feeling and a sort of like a feeling of being home.
Mm-hmm. I should note that I met Erica through the Dodgers.
Yes.
You work for the LA Dodgers, and we were doing a segment there, and you told me about your event coming up, and I'm like, okay, I want to hear more about it. I actually am surprised by how sensitive and serious you all are, and I'm kind of moved by this. I'm kind of like, okay, let me look at this a little bit more here. Alice, and I love your energy too. I mean, you really, really appreciate this band.
Yes, I do, because they helped me a lot, especially with school. With school, there's a lot of stress happening. You just like want to give up. Like, I don't want to do that homework. But every time I look at BTS, it's like, I could do it. Like, I'm going to finish this homework and get a high score or learn a lot from this class. So they're really inspiring to me.
Okay, and you're a college student. How old were you when you discovered the band?
I was 15, probably. I was in sophomore high school.
Why this band? There are a lot of other bands or a lot of other K-pop bands.
I connected to them. It feels like they said, it feels like home every time I listen to their music. It feels like I'm not alone, even though I'm just in my room alone. It feels like I have a family with me and that I could do it. And there's a lot of people supporting me every time I hear their music. That's what I really like about them.
Okay, and how do you feel when you're there at a concert?
It's just amazing. Like, it feels family. And even though, like Sue said, even though there's a lot of people, it still feels intimate. And it's funny because I went to the concert by myself, but I ended up going out of the concert with like 5 new friends that I just met from the concert. So that's what I like about the concert.
And so part of your group, which is the BTS Galaxy, you have found friendships, because Emily, you are fairly new to LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've found friends through, whether it was the only time I waited outside, but they came publicly, so it's okay. Outside LAX or waiting outside of like James Corden or like waiting outside for Ellen. And, you just
different
eventually
shows.
You see different people, the same people around, going with different people to the BBMAs and then like riding back with them. You didn't really know them at first. And then now they're like friends of mine that I hang out with all the time. And obviously through this group, you know, was reached out through, you know, reached out to through Twitter. And there are different Army in Miami that have like their own podcast that I've interviewed and then since hung out with. So I think the beauty of it and what I think is super genius of you know, Big Hit and BTS and just really, you know, using the social media platform and almost kind of making Army have to talk amongst themselves. Because a lot of, like you mentioned, you know, we don't understand the lyrics because they are in Korean. I feel like it might be a purposeful thing because the translators have to do it. So as you have to interact with the translators. Oh, what is it saying? So eventually everyone just starts to interact and becomes this community, which is what it is now. So, yeah, a lot of my friends are you know, K-pop fans or BTS ARMY. And I don't think it would have been as easy of a move had they not been presented to me.
Now, are any of you fans like this of other artists like a Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande or Bruno Mars, Cardi B? You're shaking your head. No, this is your group.
I used to be a One Direction fan, a Directioner. Not this, and I did try to make something out of that, but no, not this hard. No.
I love music, but I've never went on and hosted a convention for the fans of the group. You know, like I've never, you know, like I said, I mean, I work with a team that I'm like it's bigger than itself, but I've never,
Dodgers.
Yeah, but I've never. I think this was one of the group. This was the band that I was like, you know, as I was meeting, I met Emily or someone realized that I was a BTS fan and they're like, you should really connect with Emily. Like, I don't know if you know that Emily also follows this group. And then through Emily, I met Alice and Sue. And so I've never done this where I was pushing an event or hosting an event to try to support the group, but to also provide a gathering or a space where the family could come together.
We're going to talk about the event, but I promise you, we're not leaving that. But I had, okay, so I put this out to viewers. I said, give me a question to ask these super fans. And one person said, I don't get it, but I'm not really of maybe the generation to do this, perhaps. I think, anyway, the bottom line was, I don't get it. So what do you say to people who say that they don't get the whole Army thing?
Well, first of all, it's really not a generational thing. I think music and just is not only a universal language, but it's ageless. You can really like them at any age. I mean, I can attest to that. I just think people maybe they don't get that the portrayal of our fandom and.
Okay,
and that they think
we can clear that up. We can clear that up right here.
Yeah, they think the majority of any like boy band would be their fans would be, you know, teenagers, teenage girls, but that's really not the case. And you can see it; it's very apparent when you like at the Rose Bowl. It was so much diversity. There were all kinds of ages, from 10 to 60, and even older than that.
Okay,
and families, husbands, boyfriends, and then guys themselves who are just really into BTS.
I think you have to be also, and you kind of said it like they come into your life when you feel and whenever you're ready. I don't know if it's like exactly like, oh, God is like, or the universe is like, yeah, BTS is going to be, you know. But I think it's one of those things where you have to be like open to it. And I don't think it's like the most digestible thing for, you know, Americans to be like, yeah, let's get into like K-pop, because it is different. And even though BTS is kind of straying away from this K-pop narrative, it still is heavily into that. And, you know, it, you know, was, I guess. But I think you have to be open. Be ready to be open to it. And that's when it's like, oh, they were presented to you, but you had to be ready to accept it at the same time.
All right. Alice?
Yes. So coming off from Emily, you have to be open and you have to know that getting into them isn't just looking up a song and then that's it. You're into them.
Okay.
You have to do your research as well. Like, you have to do lyrics research, what they mean. There's also a lot of theories that you have to look up. And I think a lot of fans like that as well. So it's not just, you know, just one thing. There's a lot of things that you have to look at and see why people like this thing, like why people like BTS. So,
well, you know, my husband is a musician who got really his fame and work during the era where people bought albums, and people would buy it for the album cover, and they would sit there and listen to the whole album, and they'd read the back of it, and they'd study the lyrics, and they'd, you know, read up on it that way. So it's kind of great to hear that there's this renewed interest in music in that way, because I know we listen to it now on streaming and people don't buy as much music, but to see that you're so interested in the lyrics and the music, that says a lot.
Well, I think that, I mean, K-pop in general, like, there are K-pop stores just dedicated to albums because these groups, I mean, BTS albums, if you look at them, they look like literal books. So people will go and collect them. So, like, more than, I think BTS has sold over 2 million physical
albums
just of their newest release in April this year already. So, like, the albums, it's, I mean, you're still streaming it, but, like, fans are still buying multiple.
Yeah,
multiple
right. That's an experience,
physical.
Too.
That's a whole experience.
It has the photo books and it.
The random photo cards.
And then we collect the photo cards and there's posters and there's just.
Notes.
Yeah. It's like if a Western artist did that, then, you know.
The Jonas Brothers just did it.
Did they?
With their newest release, they have a Kevin version, a Joe version, and a Nick version.
Wow.
So, like, if you buy a BTS album, there's, like, it's Map of the Soul. There's version 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there's different versions of the photo books inside, and there's different photo cards of random members. So I think the Jonas Brothers was like, well, we're going to try this K-pop thing. And they have Joe version, Nick version, and it's randomized inside, too.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Erica, I'll start with you. If you were to recommend to somebody who's just hearing this, they don't know the music, they don't know the songs, tell them, all of you, a song that people should listen to and why. I'm not saying a favorite necessarily, but one song that really moved you.
Sorry, I'm going blank right now. I think Jin's Awake is a song that even, like, when I was at the concert, you know, I was like, oh. but I would say, like, if you don't know about it, I think you just have to lean in a little bit and just be open to it. Again, music is, like I said, a universal language. I think you just have to be open to it. But Awake is a song that I think is just really beautiful and I think it can touch anyone.
I'm going to look it up tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan, give me a song.
Oh, gosh. Let's see.
Are you thinking there are so many?
There are. There's so many.
Just recommend one.
I guess you can, if it all depends on the genre. They do different things. They do hip hop. There's ballads. There's rock. There's just something for everyone. So
if I'm going to go home tonight, what am I looking up?
To think. Okay, well, I would say just look up the whole album, Love Yourself, Tear.
Okay.
Because that's
the whole album.
I would say the whole entire thing.
Okay.
Because they explore a bunch of different genres in it, and a lot of it is very accessible. You can hear it on Top 40 Radio, and I think it's still better than Top 40 Radio, but okay. Yeah.
All right, Emily, give me a video or a song to look up.
I'd say Paradise. I think it's one of their most underrated songs. And it is on Tear. Tear is like their hands down, like, I think it's their best album. But I think Paradise, I mean, we talked a lot about the message. In that song, they talk about how society kind of forces you to, like, oh, you know, have a dream big. But it's like, they say, like, you know what? You don't have to have a dream. If you're just breathing, that's enough. If you are just, you know, eating an apple, that's enough. Like, you don't have to force yourself to have this dream. Don't force yourself to have a passion that, you know, isn't there for you yet. It'll come, maybe, but, you know, that's one of the things they talk about. And it's also a very R&B heavy song. So I think that, you know, for Americans or, you know, Western people listening to music would be a very nice gateway.
Okay. Alice, give me a song or a video.
For me, it's not really a full song with all BTS in it, but if I'm going to recommend a song, it would be the song called Deng, because it has a lot of Korean music instruments in it, and I think it's a very fresh song for people to listen to. So if you're new and you like hip-hop, I think Deng would be one of the best songs to listen out there. It's on SoundCloud and on YouTube as well.
I like the instruments.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very cool, and they talk, like, if you look at the lyrics, there's a lot of lyrics or translations that like, they say dang 8 times, like RM, he says dang 8 times on the song, but those dangs means, like, different
things,
each ones,
right.
Yes, so it's like 8 different things with different meanings, so it was really great. I was like,
okay, so I have our producer Oscar Flores here on the podcast. Oscar,
yes,
are you a BTS fan yet?
Well, after listening to all these ladies talk about it, I think I just might. Yeah.
Ooh. I think we're going to have to look up,
me in the building.
Look up some videos and some music tonight. Okay, so let me ask you about your event. If you're in Los Angeles, people can check this out. And if you're not in LA, they'll just have to.
You can stream it.
So you can stream it.
You're streaming it.
Yeah. So
gotcha.
So not only is it available for about 500 or so army in the building that'll be there, but we're actually going to be streaming it online so that army, like I said, we're trying to provide something for the army, and so we wanted to make sure that army everywhere could be present in this event.
Okay, so calling all BTS Army fans, it is the BTS Army Con. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday, June 23rd. From 10 to 3 at the Silver Lake Independent Jewish Community Center. So it's an intimate event, yes?
Parts of it, yes. There will be three different areas. There's a dance studio. Obviously, that's a pretty intimate space. There's a workshop.
Learn the dance moves of BTS.
Dance moves, yes, by lovely dance crews. There's a workshop area that is just for more intimate panels, more intimate workshops that could kind of touch on not touchy subjects, but emotional subjects. And then the box area, it's like a gymnasium sort of area. There's going to be a little small dance floor for people to just dance or whatever. There's also going to be vendors, fan artists for BTS. And then there's also going to be larger panels out there as well for YouTubers, for the charity, you know, group that we're partnering with, cosplay contest. So there's going to be a lot more out there. And then there's also going to be a parking lot area for food with Kogi barbecue food truck.
Who doesn't love the Kogi truck?
It's so good.
Korean barbecue truck, one of the first food trucks, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Susan, what's your role with this?
Mostly the social media part of it, just getting everybody hyped to get their tickets because it's going to be a great event.
And tickets are how much?
$15.
Okay, and you do social media. That's part of your career.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. How much is social media part of BTS success?
It's a huge part of getting them out there. But people equate their success to the fans and the social media aspect because they first got their award. Their very first award was social artist, top social artist for Billboard Music Award.
Right.
And they won it 3 years in a row now.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So
they're
also,
they're on their game for social media.
Right. But they've also won a top duo or group this year too, which we think is a little more relevant because, you know, it gets the social media part gets you exposed to them, but then the music keeps you there.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Erica, if I'm a fan and I want to come to this or become a fan, what am I going to experience?
I think you're going to get to learn a lot. You're going to get to have access to things that you've probably seen online but couldn't physically grasp, right? Like, you'll have vendors that can sell you the pin that you've been staring at on Twitter and want to buy. You'll get to meet some of the YouTubers that talk about BTS theories. And you'll get to hear from other folks that are involved in the community. So I think this is a really great way for potential new armies to learn a lot about the fandom. And then, you know, an opportunity for existing armies to get to see things that they don't physically get to see, right? We were talking about social media and how everyone's on social media. This is a space where you can physically be present and be surrounded by everyone.
Well, it's kind of nice to be amongst people of like mind and heart and spirit and common interest. All right. So, Alice, you're doing some of the graphics for this, yes?
Yes. I'm a designer for our BTS Galaxy.
Okay. Is there a certain logo or a certain look that BTS has?
Yes. So, actually, our theme for this BTS ArmyCon is Galaxy, coming from BTS Galaxy. And because they had a song called Microcosmo, and it feels like when you're with ARMY, it feels like a universe just for yourself. So, we want to replicate that by doing a galaxy backgrounds or galaxy copies and stuff.
So we think of like WonderCon and Comic-Con. So the con thing is a big thing. This is starting out with about 500 people, you think?
Yes.
And you were telling me earlier that this is just BTS, not a whole K-pop convention, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
BTS.
Yes. Okay. What's the benefit of having just the BTS people?
There's so much to grasp in this fandom. Hence, you know, all the panelists and different programs that we'll have there. So I think, and I don't know the depths of other fandoms, so I don't quite know if they have the same.
Have you gone to a K-pop convention?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
K-Con every year.
You go to K-Con every year.
Mm-hmm. She has been every year. I've only been 1 year.
Susan's on it.
Yes. BTS has been twice to KCON.
Right.
Okay. Oh, and we should note, Susan, you have met the band.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, is it a wow?
Oh, yeah. It was a definite wow.
Yeah? Tell me about the first time.
Well, the first time, it was accidental, but it was after their very first show at the Troubadour in 2014.
Okay. If anybody doesn't know the Troubadour, that is a smaller venue in Los Angeles.
There were only less than 250 people there.
So they hadn't been, quote, discovered yet.
No, they were filming a reality show that they would put in, they broadcast in Korea. And they gave us, it was actually a free show, said, come on down, 200 people.
Wow.
And then I was there about 8 in the morning and there were already about 150 people.
I guess
in
I'm
line.
Feeling new respect for them as artists, being watching my own husband's journey through music. And I'm thinking back in the day when they tried to make it on the Sunset Strip and just to get fans to come out and to get noticed and to really be at this point that BTS is at now. I now can envision all of the hard work and how many gigs did they do where there are only 100 people or, you know, not the crowds that you think of today. You forget
right.
about the journey that's been a long journey.
Right.
Yeah. So, Erica, what do you love about this band and their journey?
I mean, I think they all come from really humble beginnings. Their company is, you know, is the smallest one in Korea. And so they come from really humble beginnings. And I think they remind you to keep working towards a goal and focus on that goal. And one day, you know, things will come together and things will happen for you. I think the message in their music is beautiful. Like I said, I mean, I found myself in tears during one of the songs in the concert. And I think I just appreciate someone utilizing, again, their platform and the power that they have and this following to be able to relay a message to people. And I think that's what separates them from anyone else, I think.
Okay, so I think, Alice, you're super studied on the group. Let me ask you this. Are any of them in relationships that we know about, or do they keep their private lives private?
They keep their private lives private, but there's like a lot of rumors going around that they probably have girlfriends, which is fine. Like, you know, they should, if they want to keep that private, it should be okay. But yeah, I don't really know.
Because I kind of Googled it and I didn't really see.
Right.
Like, you never, I haven't seen any of them out like on a date or anything.
Right.
You don't see that.
Yeah,
wow,
they said that they're very busy, so they don't have time for like girlfriends and relationships.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I feel like they would. They would never.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a while until they. I'm. They might. They probably do.
Well, that's kind of makes. That's kind of a hard lifestyle that
yeah.
you know
yeah.
to try to live a public life with your brand, and then to kind of keep your private life out of it. Yeah, Susan, thoughts on that?
Well, that's the whole. Focus of their albums, their Map of the Soul persona. It's basically talking about the masks that people, that all people really have.
That's so true. You should see me on a weekend.
Right, and how different you are with different people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's, you're not a fake person. You're just different with different people. So
okay.
That's the message they were conveying in that album. And we think it's going to end up being, you know, pursued even further in their next album. Just the different sides of people, the good side, the bad side.
So, Erica, you said they're from humble upbringings. Do we ever see them with family members, parents, siblings?
We've seen the parents, yeah, in concerts.
Yeah, I've seen videos of Min Yoongi. I remember there was a video of him where he finds his family in the audience and he bows down to show respect and to mm-hmm. I guess honor them and thank them, and he starts crying and it's like one of the hardest videos to watch. But I think they're family oriented, but the industry and what they do, I think you know, it's a business, and I think they're also very passionate about their music and what they're doing, so I think that's fine.
Okay,
but
Alice, do any of them live in LA?
I don't think so. There's no information out there about them living in LA, but
they did produce an album here or did some work here?
Yes, they did some work here, and they do a lot of interviews here as well in New York. They do a lot of interviews and work there as well.
Okay, so they live in Korea? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if you saw them, one walking down the street, you'd recognize them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, because obviously we see them as a group. I don't know if I saw one walking alone down Sunset Strip, would I say, that's him?
We can tell. They wear masks, like, you know, the facial things over their ear, and they wear big floppy hats or hoodies, and we can tell the members.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's like in a public arena, right?
I mean, they'll probably have like a couple of bodyguards around them as well, so it'd be pretty like obvious. Like,
yeah.
I think the one thing they've talked about is that they normally, if they do go out in public, they have to go out. They can't go out in groups. They have to go as, you know, singular members because people
recognize them too. Right. Oh, because they
seven
have a
guys
people.
Walking together, bodyguards.
Yeah,
might be a giveaway.
Too much. Yeah.
I wonder who that is.
But they do get to go out. Luckily, fans are good about, you know, allowing them to have their privacy.
One of them came to Dodger Stadium last month.
Yoongi did.
Yeah.
And then Jungkook went to the Ariana Grande concert.
Yeah.
Someone went to Six Flags, I think, or?
Yeah. Jin was at Six Flags.
And you ladies weren't running behind them?
No. We give them their privacy.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right. So as we wrap up the podcast, I wanted to ask you all to give me a final thought that you want to share that I didn't ask, perhaps, about BTS. So, Eric, you want to start me out? Is there something that comes to mind that you would like to put out there?
I would just say give them a try. Listen to their new album. Listen to Love Yourself, Tear. They're great guys, I think, with a great message.
All right. Susan?
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Just give them a chance if you want to see just how involved they are in charity work and in things. They partnered with UNICEF, and then they earned like over $1 million in the first year just based on their album sales and their merchandise and things that were related to the Love Yourself series. And since then, Namjoon, the leader, RM, he spoke at the United Nations. And look that up on YouTube. It's a great speech.
So they're using their platform.
Yes, for good.
Emily, what didn't I ask? What do I need to know?
Oh, I would say, you know, to someone who's thinking about it, at least for me, they've changed my life completely. And they've ignited something in me that I don't think would have been present had they not come into it. So, and I think for a lot of fans, like, that's the same thing. So if I talk too long about it, I'll get emotional. But I think, you know, it might not be the cup of tea for you at first, but I'd say, as everyone else is saying, give them a try. There's a lot to offer. They have a lot to offer.
I just think what it must be like them to have this effect on people, you know? I mean, can you imagine if you're them to know that this is how people feel about you and your work? It's got to be overwhelming just a bit. All right, Alice?
For me, I would say that it's much deeper than what you see in the surface and what you see in the media, that you actually have to research things up so you know why people like them. Because it's not just like their music. They also recommend books. They also recommend other musics. There's a whole community in the ARMY fan community about just theories in general on what their song's about and what is next, basically, what's behind, what the meaning of the songs and other things. So,
all right. So Eric, I'm going to let you have the last word since you brought this to the table here, this podcast on BTS. You said if you met them, you would want to say thank you. Tell me about that.
Yes, I mean, like I said, I'd like to say thank you just for you know, being people who utilize their platform to do good. As you can see around the table, I mean, all of us, I don't think we would have ever met had it not been for this group. And I think they're doing such great work via UNICEF campaign, and I think just relaying always a really good message to people about not just loving yourself, but loving others and doing good. And so being bigger than this. And I think that that's why we all came together for the ARMY Con. We wanted to create something that was bigger than ourselves, bigger than that fan base that, you know, they launched their own fan bases. And so they came together to form a beautiful coalition, and that's how we all came to be here. But yeah, I'd love to thank them just for everything they've given me. and the hope they've given me.
I love that. All right, Susan, because you do the social media, where do people find you all? Where do they find the ArmyCon?
You can find us, BTS Galaxy, on Twitter at BTS Galaxy OT7, or 1 through 7, the 7 members.
Mm-hmm. okay.
And then we have, you can get tickets for the ArmyCon on BTSGalaxy.com. And you'll see all the information regarding all the activities and events going on that day. And our past events, you can see other things we've done, like past festas and movie night events and things like that. We're trying to stay active here in L.A. For ARMY.
And I should say June is a big month for BTS because, Emily?
It is their anniversary. They debuted June 13th, 2013. So this is their 6th anniversary. So they have their Festa is kind of still going. It's kind of done, but they have Muster coming up in Korea. And so really this BTS ArmyCon was an opportunity to have fans who can't fly all the way to Korea to enjoy the fandom and obviously BTS at Muster. They can do so here with ARMY.
You, at least, Erica, have it on your bucket list to go to Korea?
Oh, yes, of course. I think it's definitely on there for next year or sometime. I think for any ARMY, I think it's a goal to one day go to South Korea and be kind of like in their land. Like, not their land, sorry,
really?
But like really just that culture. I think, like, you know, when you think about it, all the fans are being exposed to a culture that maybe they've never thought of. And I think just to go to that place and just experience it, just like you would experience any country. And I think it's a big learning experience for anyone.
Well, I heard that they did boost South Korean tourism.
Yes. They did.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Crazy amount. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Alice, give me a final thought.
Final thought? I think you should just look up BTS.
I'm gonna. Yeah. I'm gonna go home yeah. tonight listening to BTS.
Everyone should be a fan. Well, not everyone should be a fan, but you should try to look it up and see why people like it and...
Come to
ArmyCon. Come to
ArmyCon,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm out of town. I'm sorry for ArmyCon. I missed that. But Oscar, you and I have an assignment now to come back the next day with our favorite BTS song.
Well, looking forward to it.
All right, yay. Very good. Thanks, ladies, for coming on Olympic and Bundy. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.